is weird, odd, strange, or just plain bizarre is really your cup of tea, then the Golden State Media Concepts Weird News Podcast will give you that fix. Can't believe it? Well, listen for yourself as we deliver the strangest news you definitely won't find on CNN or Fox. It's the Golden State Media Concepts Weird News Podcast.
Welcome to the GSMC Weird News Podcast, brought to you by the GSMC Podcast Network. I am your host, Heidi, and I'm joined by the fabulous Sarah.
I am ready to hear about weirdness.
Oh, good. I have some weirdness for you.
Okay.
I have, actually, the first story is pretty cute. So it's like, well, cute in a, if you're a dog person, cute. It's weird, funny, and cute. And also, I feel bad for this guy.
Okay.
So this is about a man from Arlington, Texas. So not Florida Man, but Arlington, Texas.
I've been to Arlington.
And, maybe you've been to this location. Specifically a dog park.
Probably not.
This man, he came in last in his fantasy football league. And his losing punishment was to walk around a dog park covered head to toe in peanut butter. Which is pretty funny.
Who comes up with these bets?
I don't know. Actually, I have a strange... I just remembered. I have a weird story connected to this. My own personal story where I was... back in art school, I was doing a performance piece where I covered myself in peanut butter. I was clothed, but I covered most of my, like,
You just
arms.
Remembered this? What, did you block it before?
I don't know. I just thought about, covered in peanut butter. I did that. And I, like, covered, like, my face and arms and hands in peanut butter. And I was walking out of the room, and suddenly, out of nowhere, a dog came running towards me.
Well, yeah.
I was inside a building. And he just started bounding towards me, and I kind of freaked out a little bit. And he was very friendly and just wanted to lick my hand.
Well, sure. Wow. Yeah, my dogs love peanut butter. I love peanut butter, but I don't know if I love it after this story.
I mean, yeah, I love peanut butter, but not enough to, yeah. Anyway, not enough to cover it all over myself and go into a dog park.
Yeah.
So this man was Steven Schrout. He's 25, and he was playing fantasy football. He had never played before this year, but he decided to join. It was a league with some high school friends, and these friends had been playing together since 2009. So he was definitely not at an advantage.
So 9 years.
Game.
So they've been playing since high school, pretty much.
Yeah, basically.
Or longer.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So what the man, Steven, he said, it was my first year, and I didn't do any kind of studying at first. I just kind of jumped in.
I bet he'll study next year.
Yeah. For lack of a better phrase, he was dogged by bad luck. And I guess really from the beginning, he wasn't doing well. His top draft choice, Pittsburgh Steelers running back Le'Veon Bell. Sorry. Oh, thank
that
you.
That one I know.
And he ended up, this player ended up sitting out the entire season.
Yep.
So, yeah, not doing well for him. As a result, Steven Trout was given the choice of paying $250 to the winning person or to perform a humiliating stunt. He chose to do the stunt. And that was to stand in a dog park for 10 minutes, clad only in a gold Speedo and peanut butter.
Oh, of course it had to be a gold Speedo. I don't know if that matters.
I mean, I feel like, you know, they had to choose Speedo.
Well, yeah, Speedo. But then I'm just thinking, does the color matter once you're just in a Speedo and nothing else?
Maybe it just blends in with the peanut butter. I don't
maybe.
Know.
Maybe.
So I guess what Steven, when he was given the stunt, he just said, oh, that's not a big challenge. Of course, no one believed them. And they all just were like, oh, no way he's going to do it. But he did. He went through with it. Apparently, according to Steven, he said his strategy was to do it as fast as possible and hope that not many people would see me. A lot of the dog owners just wondered what I was doing, and then when I said I lost a bet, they all laughed.
They all laughed and probably pulled out their cell phones.
Well, exactly. He was hoping to complete this bet without much being seen, but of course, a video of his stunt went viral, so I'm sure his friends filmed it, and then probably the other dog park people. He said that he had learned a valuable lesson. Steven said, I will play fantasy football again, but probably not with the same guys.
Yeah.
Also, you can see a video of the stunt online. You can see an image. He is really completely covered in peanut butter.
And yeah, you're right about the gold Speedo kind of blending in with the peanut butter.
Yeah,
he looks like
one
of those painted guys that you see in like Vegas. Except that he's...
This is just peanut butter, not like silver paint. Oh, wow. He really is. Wow. Also, I feel like going barefoot in a dog park would be one of the worst places to go barefoot.
Well, yeah. Oh, yeah. That's not a Speedo, but that's okay. I'm perfectly okay with that not being a Speedo.
Yeah, wow. The dogs are pretty excited about that, but not as excited as I would have expected.
Yeah, I would have expected them to be much more like jumping all over him. They're just very calmly, you know, licking him.
Maybe they're also a little weirded out by the whole situation.
They probably are. Oh. What is this human doing?
Yeah, just a walking buffet. That's weird.
I'm not supposed to take food from strangers.
Right, exactly. Cautiously going up to lick his knee or something. So I guess keeping with the sports theme, I want to go on to our next story. This is not about someone losing a bet, but this is about two baseball players. And interestingly enough, two baseball players who were both named Brady Fiegel.
Oh.
And honestly, when I read that out loud, I want to clarify it is Fiegel. It's not Fiegel, which honestly, I read it and I kind of hear that in my head, even though I know what I'm saying.
Right. But, now everyone's hearing that.
Well, I'm sorry. We have to all be in this together.
Yes. Can't just be in your head.
Exactly. That's why I'm telling you all these crazy stories. So these two baseball players, they ended up taking a DNA test to see if they were related. So they are two minor league players. They had some confusion, of course, because their names are the same. But not just their names. They look really similar.
Yeah, they do.
So Brady Fiegel is a 6'4" pitcher for the single-A affiliate of the Oakland A's. And then also Brady Fiegel is a 6'4" pitcher for the Texas Rangers double-A club. Both have red hair, red beards, and they have kind of the same glasses, like thick rimmed glasses.
You missed your pun. The notes you indicated that they sport red beards.
I was trying to save all of us, honestly.
No, come on, I'm not letting you get away with it. Nope.
They both sport red beards and both sport red hair and the same glasses, which I feel like are actually glasses I see in a lot of like sports players. I think they're like kind of sports glasses, sort of.
Maybe.
They look like they really stay on your face.
That might be.
They almost look like safety goggles, but glasses.
Not quite, yeah. Yeah.
So, also, not only do they look similar, they both underwent Tommy John surgery and used the same doctor.
What is Tommy John surgery? Should I know this?
It's like when, I believe it's your elbow goes bad. It's like with pitchers often
because they're both pitchers. All right, yeah.
And then they take... I believe it's a tendon from your ankle and put it in your elbow or something.
Okay. Well, it makes sense since they are both pitchers, but
right.
still
yeah.
another coincidence
it does.
To add to
the... And it was
the
same doctor, which is really weird.
Oh, right,
because really
one's in California and one's in Texas.
Right, which is even weirder. I mean, I guess they might both live in the same state and just play for different state teams, but I don't know. Also, you should really look up a picture of them. Or
you
pictures
should.
Of them.
Yeah.
Just type in Brady Fiegel. You'll see them both.
It doesn't matter which one comes up.
Yeah. They look the same. So despite all the similarities, they didn't think that they were, you know, long lost twins or anything. But the news program Inside Edition decided to let science make the final call, and they got both of the Brady Fiegels to take a DNA test. They do have one big similarity. They share the same amount of Germanic ancestry, which is 53%, but they have no shared DNA, which means they aren't related to each other.
I guess they say everybody has a doppelganger out there.
Yeah. It's really bizarre, honestly. I mean, you could tell the difference between them. They're not, like, identical twins, but it's very similar.
They look more alike than some actual biological brothers do.
Yeah, no, that is really true. And I guess they're also baseball players, which is kind of odd.
Yeah.
And both had the same surgery. But anyway, it's also funny. I was going to say Brady Fiegel, but it doesn't matter which one of them.
Right.
One of the Bradys said, "We're still brothers in a way. We're always going to be Brady Fiegel." Yes. Unless you change your name, you will always be that person.
That's funny.
You should look it up. It's pretty similar. One of them has, like, I guess a a bigger, more round face.
Yeah.
But they're also like the same height.
They're the same height, which is crazy.
Yeah. And again, the glasses choice is really similar.
It's kind of like, you know, when twins are separated at birth and then they come back together 30 years later and discover that they have all these similarities, except that these aren't actually twins. And yet they still have those crazy similarities.
It's so weird. I also think it's really funny that like Inside Edition made them take a DNA test. Yes.
I hope they're BFFs forever.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, maybe they'll end up playing like, you know, opposing teams, something like that. Yeah. I don't know.
Yeah, I wonder if they only discovered each other after people realized that they were both Brady Fiegel and had the same names, or if they had somehow known about the other before.
I don't know. I mean, I guess they're both in baseball. Can't be that. I mean, it's probably kind of small world, you know.
Yeah, minor league, maybe. Yeah.
Also, they're both in the minor leagues. That's also kind of crazy.
Mm-hmm.
But anyway, I hope the best for the Brady Fiegels.
It sounds like a hyphenated last name, the Brady Fiegel family.
I know, I'm not talking about a family. Anyway, we're going to take a quick break, and then we'll be right back and keep talking about some more weird news.
Check out the show built around the women of MMA. From the UFC to the extreme cage fighting, we got the fights covered.
Listen.
It's the Golden State Media Concepts Women's MMA Podcast. The latest news of upcoming fights, discussions of previous matches. Join us as we talk to and about the biggest names in women's mixed martial arts, past, present, and future. When it's the women's fight game, you know where to listen to. The Golden State Media Concepts Women's MMA Podcast.
Welcome back to the Weird News Podcast. We are continuing to share some strange and interesting stories. This next one is, it's really just weird all around. Because the topic is mummies, not in Egypt, but in Ireland. And then also vandals.
Huh.
Which is confusing that someone would come in. Because, okay, also, when I think of mummies, I think of Egypt. And then when I think of people, like, breaking into tombs, you know, like tomb raiders.
Right, right.
Besides thinking about Brandon Fraser. But I also think about, like, that they would be taking the gold and riches of these mummies.
Mm-hmm.
But then I don't get the sense that that's what was going on with these mummies in Ireland.
No.
I don't feel like they had a bunch of jewels, you know?
These vandals may have been drunk.
Yeah. Yeah. You have to be really drunk to get me in a I don't know. What the right word is, a catacomb.
I guess it depends.
Yeah, I wouldn't be around for that. So, what happened is some vandals broke into a historic church in Dublin, Ireland, and stole the head of an 800-year-old mummy nicknamed the Crusader. Which is
Did they lose a fantasy football bet?
Yeah.
I mean, really come on. What's going on through your head? Going on through your head? What is going through your head?
When you take someone else's head?
Well, yes. Thank you.
Man, a doubleheader. keep up with the baseball. So this grim discovery was made by a guide at the St. Missions Church. The guide was getting ready to open the site to the public. According to a statement from the Church of Ireland, they talked about this incident. In addition to the Crusader, several other corpses were damaged, including that of a nun dating back 400 years.
Ugh.
That's not good.
Okay, it's not good. Like, desecrating a grave isn't good ever.
Right, exactly.
And then I don't even know.
I guess it's kind of like a sacred site.
Yeah.
But then also, this is like a tourist attraction, so I feel like that's harming like the... I don't know what the word is for, the popularity and income. And
the local economy, yeah.
Right, yeah, the livelihood of people. And also, that must be interesting to be a guide on that type of tour. That's really not my jam.
And what are you going to do with a stolen mummy head? It's not like you're going to sell it on the... Maybe you can sell it on the black market.
I guess.
I don't know, but that's probably something pretty easy to trace. Maybe not.
I guess.
On the black market, the mummy black market.
There has to be something like that. There has to be.
Oh, you just taking it home, putting it in your...
Put it on your mantle?
Yeah.
Scare your neighbors? I don't know. I hope they return it, to be honest. So, what happened, according to the Archdeacon, David Pierpoint, he said, they broke open that vault. It's a big, heavy steel door, and opened one of the coffins. parts of the contents of the coffin have been dragged out. So they didn't just cleanly take the object. You know, they like kind of messed up with other things going on. You know, they opened the coffin, they pulled out other parts of the grave and the coffin, which I feel like, does that mean you were looking for the head? Is it that hard to find?
Or maybe they were looking for something else, and then when they didn't find, you know, treasures or whatever they were looking for, they just were mad and took the head?
I guess.
I really don't know.
I mean, this is a tourist site. Wouldn't you have walked through before and known that, you know, there's not really much else there?
Yeah.
I don't know. This, what a bizarre, like, Indiana Jones type of thing to happen. In a church statement, David Pierpoint, the archdeacon, he had a request for the Vandals. He just said, "I would appeal to those responsible to examine their consciences and return the head of the crusader to its rightful place."
Yeah.
I agree. The church was founded in 1095.
Oh, it's home... the same year as the Norman invasion.
Oh, interesting. That's a fun fact. it's home to five crypts housing the mummified corpses of prominent Dublinders, many dating from about 1600 to 1800. It's a significant tourist draw with some 27,000 visitors annually. So, again, I feel like you're just ruining the experience for a lot of tourists. Maybe you hate tourists. I don't know. Maybe you hate the church. Maybe you hate the archdeacon or whatever.
Yeah,
I'm not sure.
Or maybe you were drunk.
Right. I mean, honestly, that's probably part of it.
Sorry, I just needed to say this for all the history people out there who are yelling at me right now. It was 1066. I was off by 29 years. I apologize.
Man, how dare you?
I know.
Thank you for the clarification.
They're going to revoke my history major.
They're going to just take it back.
Just going to take it
take
back.
Take the degree
20
back.
Years later. Like, nope.
You don't deserve this. The site's tours have been canceled for now. Pierpoint told news outlets that because the Vandals broke open the vault, they're worried that the open air conditions will further damage the mummies.
Well, yeah.
Yeah, that's not good. Also, I wonder when they do the tours, does that mean people don't get to see the mummies? They just see the coffins if they don't want to open it and, like, you know, have damage from the air?
Well,
I don't know.
Probably not. I mean,
maybe they
know.
Open it for just a little bit and then close it? I'm not sure.
That seems like it would do just as much damage.
Right,
I don't know.
Yeah. I'm not sure how they do it. But yeah. Also, I'm sure anyone coming in and, like, messing around with the bones and whatnot is going to terribly damage it. Ireland's police service is currently investigating the incident. And interestingly enough, this isn't the first time the collection of mummies at St. Mission's has been hit by vandals. In 1996, intruders damaged dozens of corpses. It was reported at the time that thieves removed some 40 mummies from their coffins and made piles of their bones. Pierpoint remembered a chilling detail in an interview that he gave to the Times. He said they dragged them up onto the ground and seemed to be playing football with the heads.
Ew.
He continued, "Thankfully, at that time, the guards did their jobs extremely well, and they caught the perpetrators." Also, I'd like to imagine that that is European football, a.k.a. American soccer.
Yeah.
But, yeah, that's terrible. Just kicking around mummy heads? What the heck?
Stop it, people.
Yeah, that's really weird. And I don't really know why you feel the need to do that. I don't know. I mean, I don't. I guess I'm just not the kind of person who would go anyway to go see a bunch of mummies, but I don't understand why you do that. I mean, they had to be drunk at that point. They're not just taking... I feel like also they're... I should specify. They're vandals, not necessarily robbers, because they did take the head, but it didn't sound like they were after, you know, like, money. It sounds like they were kind of just trying to vandalize the situation. You know, like, break into coffins and mess with, like, the bodies there, which is really messed up and gross. And very strange in general.
Yeah, agreed.
Very weird.
Agreed.
Yeah. So, I hope that the vandals return the head, and I hope that, honestly, probably the church improves security.
And if you don't return the head, I hope that that crusader haunts you.
Right, and I just hope that you get really creeped out by it.
Yeah.
Or maybe it was like a drunk escapade, you know, and then you wake up and there's a mummy head on the,
like,
on the ground.
Okay.
Like, what the heck? Okay. Moving on, I'm continuing to talk about, I guess, sports-related incidences.
Well, there was football in the last story.
Yeah, there was. So this is about a man who allegedly faked his own kidnapping to get out of a Super Bowl pool payout. Which is so weird.
Wow.
Oh, you have to be really desperate.
Yeah.
So what happened is... State police have said that a Western New York man faked his own abduction and robbery because he was short of cash and that he owed to a Super Bowl pool.
How much did he owe?
Do I say that later? I guess he said that he was robbed of $16,000. So I don't know if that's how much he owed, but Wow, that's how much he reported. So what happened? State troopers found 60-year-old Robert Brandel in North Tonawanda tied up in his pickup truck in a parking lot 30 miles north of Buffalo. I guess the man told the troopers that two men involved in his Super Bowl squares robbed him of $16,000, drove him around for 2 days, and left him tied up in his pickup.
So he specifically said they were known to him. The abductors were known to him. Wow.
Really, though, I don't think that's very wise in, like, reporting a crime. Do you really say that they were specifically in your
Random men in masks. Right. We didn't know.
Like, that'd be really bad kidnappers to just, be people that you know, show them, show you their faces.
Right.
Like, that's like, okay, well, they're just very bad at kidnapping them.
Well, they could have been, but,
That's true. Investigators determined Brandel had entered some fake names in his $50,000 squares pool, hoping to make the most of his winnings. Instead, he ended up short for his payouts. That is a huge risk.
Yeah.
Like, really fake. Yeah. Oh,
interesting.
Brandel was $50,000 squares with fraud. Okay. I know, right? I don't know what kind, but I wouldn't play a game with that type of stakes.
No.
Especially if you're putting in fake names.
The Super Bowl squares parties I've been to, or I've seen, have been like $10, $20.
You know, I actually don't know how to play Super Bowl squares. Is that just putting in like names and teams of who you think's going to win? I mean, I guess.
There's other things. I mean, I don't know if it's the same everywhere. The party I've gone to, there's, you can make a prediction of what the score will be at halftime, or you can make a prediction of this or that, and then there's just, I don't know exactly how it works because I didn't play. So I didn't learn the rules.
You're probably wise. Wiser than this man. Brandel was charged with fraud and falsely reporting an incident. Yeah, I bet.
Yeah.
Man, well, I'm not going to wish you good luck. I feel like I often say good luck, but... you really lied. And then you lied twice.
Yeah.
You put in fake names into your Super Bowl pool, and then you lied about being kidnapped and robbed. And
by
you tied yourself up in your own truck.
Yeah, how did he do that?
I don't know.
You'd have to have somebody else tie you up, wouldn't you?
I would imagine.
So there, would that person be charged as an accessory?
I guess, yeah, an accessory to crime. I don't know. That's really weird. Well, what a strange story. All right, we're going to take a break, and then we'll be right back and keep talking about weird news.
This is your ultimate stop for everything sports. The Golden State Media Concepts Sports Podcast. Should I say more? From the NFL, MLB, the NBA, to MMA, it's all in here. The Golden State Media Concepts Sports Podcast. Listen now.
Welcome back to the Weird News Podcast. We're continuing to talk about some strange stories. This next one, I feel like so much of Weird News is just people behaving badly.
Mm-hmm.
And this is really an example of that. So we've talked about a man faking his own kidnapping. Now we're talking about people who actually got into a fight at a buffet over crab. Which, I guess, yeah, crab is delicious. So if you're going to have a fight over some sort of food, I mean, maybe I can understand.
I guess, but... Did they run out? Were they fighting over the last crab leg? What were they doing?
Well, what happened is, and this is in Alabama, and the Alabama police said the dispute happened over some crab legs at a buffet, and I guess it started as a fight, like a dispute, and then it ended into a brawl, and now two people are facing misdemeanor charges about this. And even better, there was an officer in the restaurant when it happened.
Oh, nice.
So Huntsville Police Officer Gerald Johnson said that he was eating at the Meteor Buffet restaurant when a fight broke out. So he was there when it happened.
Right.
Which is pretty ridiculous.
He was probably off duty just trying to enjoy a nice dinner.
Right, exactly. Trying to enjoy his crab legs when this had to happen in front of him. He told news outlets that diners were using service tongs like fencing swords and plates were shattering.
Oh,
and
geez.
Apparently there was a woman just beating a man.
A different woman?
No, the two people involved in the fight.
Oh, okay.
But they were like sparring with tongs, and then she was just beating him.
Jeez.
Johnson said that the diners had been waiting in line for crab legs for more than 10 minutes. Then they lost their tempers once the food actually came out, which is unfortunate because then you're not even going to get the crab legs.
Yeah.
You were waiting for 10 minutes and then you just started a fight and you're not even get to enjoy them. Pretty unfortunate, I would say. Also, really? Once the food comes out, then you fight? Not before?
Right.
I don't... Everyone else... Then everyone else isn't going to get the crab.
Once the food came out.
Right, exactly. Once you get what you want. I don't know. Okay, so
I'm just gonna chalk everything up to this in this episode as they were drunk. Except for the two guys that look alike. They were drunk.
I mean, that does make sense though. That I don't know. I'm not saying they were drunk, but there's a pretty high chance.
At some point in their lives, I'm sure they were.
Yeah, true. So I guess they were having to fight because once the food came out, their tempers just boiled over. And news stations have reported that the people involved, Chiquita Jenkins, who was charged with assaulting John Chapman, and I guess John Chapman suffered a cut to his head. He's also charged with disorderly conduct. And honestly, yeah. I didn't see more details about this. I just thought they had a fight over crab legs. And I don't know if maybe like they were next to each other in line and then like, you know, John went for a crab leg that like Chiquita thought was hers, so then she went to, you know, defend it. I don't know.
I mean, I guess they were fighting after the crab legs came out. So yeah, maybe they were shoving and trying to beat each other in the line. Beat each other, trying to, you know, be first.
Right.
I don't know.
Get a leg up on the company. Man, I don't know. I guess I don't know. Fighting over crab, it is pretty good though. I will say. So on to our next story. This is one that I really have seen pop up over social media, mostly because it's very bizarre. What happened is a dead humpback whale mysteriously appeared in an Amazon jungle.
Oh.
So strange. So okay. Researchers are working to try and figure out how the whale wound up in the rainforest. The whale is believed to be a calf who was found on Friday, February 22nd, on the Brazilian island of Maranhão. And it is about 50 feet from the ocean.
Wow.
So it's not just like on the shore, you know?
Had there been a flood? Had there been anything that would have washed it up 50 feet from the ocean? I don't know.
Well, I have a couple of hypotheses. Or I think they have one main theory. Darlene Silva, who is a spokesperson for Brazil's Department of Health, Sanitation, and Environment, she told reporters the animal was found in a mangrove swamp only after the researchers noticed that vultures were circling the sky.
Mm-hmm.
So it's not an area that is super populated, it doesn't seem, or one that people, you know, visit all the time.
Right.
Biologists from the Bicho de Agua Institute said the animal was about 26 feet long, though local officials said it's closer to 36 feet long.
Sounds like a fish story.
Yeah. Or a large mammal story.
Yeah.
I did hear that some people said it looked bigger in pictures than how it actually was. But I guess, I don't know, maybe this wasn't a lot for scale. You don't often see a whale in the jungle. I'm not sure.
Right. I've never seen a whale in the jungle.
You really never do. And then also, so the team, they found the carcass. It had no visible injuries, so they theorized that then the whale died at sea, I don't know, very strange. So the whale died at sea, they're saying. Renata Emin, who is part of the Institute's project leader, told reporters that researchers don't know how the animal washed up so far from the beach, but they guessed that the creature was floating once it had died. It was floating close to the shore and then was carried inland by a storm.
Okay.
So I guess, I don't know. I mean, I guess there had to be a very large storm for that to happen. And then I also would imagine that other things would have been washed up as well.
Yeah, I would imagine.
You know, like fish?
Yeah.
Which seems way more likely than a whale.
Right, right. They're probably used to seeing the fish being washed up.
Oh, but potentially.
Yeah.
Yeah. I don't know. Also, Emin added that the find is extra baffling since the presence of a humpback whale off of Brazil in February is very unusual, and they are rarely seen that far north.
Oh, Mr. Whale or Miss Whale or whatever, what were you doing there?
I don't know. I mean, I guess potentially maybe the whale had already passed at sea and then was just carried along, you know, like away from where it normally, maybe like away from where it was.
I suppose.
That made sense.
Yeah.
I don't know. Very strange. Well, maybe it hadn't been dead that long since other creatures weren't, you know, composing it, like eating it?
Well, yeah, if you'd think that if it had been in the water for a while, then yeah, it would have been eaten by other sea life.
Yeah, I'm not sure. Researchers are collecting carcass samples, but they said that there will be no attempts to find like a final resting spot for it. It can't really be moved. It's so deep into the jungle that they couldn't like get a crane to get to it, you know, and move it. And if you can see like a video of this on social media, and really the people to get to it have to kind of climb around like a bunch of trees and whatnot. It's not easy to get to. So there wouldn't be no way for them to move it. So it will remain there, which I'm assuming that it'll just be eaten by, you know, land creatures. Like they saw it because vultures were circling it.
Right.
So,
but then once it's just bones, maybe it'll be a tourist attraction.
Potentially.
Until someone steals its head.
Oh, yeah.
I'm just trying to wrap everything up in a nice bow today.
No, that's good. Circling back. I appreciate that. Although I'm not sure. I don't think it would be that big of a tourist attraction because I think it's pretty deep into the...
Yeah, it
relatively
like it.
Enough that people wouldn't be going out of their way. Maybe they would, though, after, you know, wanting to go see a whale.
Maybe.
Bone. I don't know. Interesting. But if you're interested in this story, you can find it online. There is some short video clips, and there are also images to show you what's going on. And that brings us to the end of the show. So thank you all so much for listening, and please tune in to the next Weird News podcast.